gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, and why not? Why not? We are in the afterglow of the big dog. Listen, I hear the same thing from every woman I know, every man I know. You would fill in the blank to Bill Clinton after last night.
No.
Well, not Jim.
Not every man. No.
No. Jim's extra crispy bucket of straight. However, I go to questioning immediately. Is there a cue in here for that or no? Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina. That handsome gentleman is Carl Frisch. Right out of the box
Good
with us.
Good morning.
Of course, voice deity Jim Ward.
Hello.
And the that giant steroid-infused arm that you saw coming in a moment ago is, of course, producer Chris.
Long got no like.
He gets all roid ragey when you imply that he might be.
I actually like the weight room at our hotel. It's very nice. It's insufficient for Chris. He likes to lift
no.
the entire room.
No, the room is heavy enough for Chris to lift. all right. So I was just talking about, here's a joke. Here's what I learned. Do not joke with security people here. They're a little tense. POTUS is here.
What's that supposed to be?
Well, and they're not
POTUS
even...
is in town, and I was going through, and he said, what's the BT stand for? And I said, bacon, lettuce, tomato. You're in the South. One's not sure how people feel about the,
Well, a lot of
the
officers aren't necessarily from Charlotte.
Right.
So no, exactly.
He probably really wanted to know what it stood for.
Everyone likes bacon.
That's right.
Okay. So
it could be from the Castro, for all we know.
The fact that I'm not wearing a baseball cap, you know what that means, Carl?
What's that?
I found some gays. I found, Jim, you'll love this, because someone wrote to me and said he's a hairdresser and a huge fan of mine, he and his husband here in Charlotte, and he did Nancy Pelosi's hair. And I just, based on a hunch that he was not an axe murderer that actually wanted to come to my hotel room and rape me, I was like, okay. And Jim's like, let me get this straight. You invited total strangers to your hotel room that you said they were fans? And I'm like, yes. And guess what, Carl? It turned out to be a lovely gay hairdresser and his husband. And we had a pizza party and a wine, and we watched Big Dog.
And the leftovers are here.
Yes. I brought the leftovers.
If you think it's any different when it's not in the studio.
My point is, look at my hair.
I have a gay guy do my hair every day.
That is... How long does that take?
Not long. There's less and less time, actually. Although I will say, I ran into you the first night of the convention.
Yes.
And the look of horror on your face when you found out that there was no wine being served to a plebeian seer.
I don't think I understood that going to the hall would mean no wine.
Trying to type into her phone... Which is difficult enough already. Al Gore, Al Gore, why have you forsaken me?
And I was in the nosebleed, so I had to climb. It was like the Andes up.
And with wine,
because
it's better.
I'm so low rent at this convention, and I'm like, I need like a camelback full of wine at this point.
The altitude sickness is kind of like being drunk.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Well, yeah, I braved the convention the first night, and then, of course, I wished I was there. Seriously, not just like laughing and crying and cheering. It looked like a lot of people were having orgasms in the hall last night, didn't they, for Bill Clinton? Was that... It was stunning, the speech, wasn't it?
It was O-faces, and it wasn't Obama.
I'm telling you, was it not...
It was amazing for two reasons. One, there's been this talk of an enthusiasm gap.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that was clear last night.
Enthusiasm.
But you know what? It's self-projection, right?
Yeah.
The Republicans have no enthusiasm for Mitt Romney. They didn't even want him. They dislike him so much that they flirted with the idea of nominating people like Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
That's how much they don't like him.
How hilarious. Did you see this poll, Carl? Viewers say Clint Eastwood was talking to a chair was the speech of the GOP convention.
Well, I did hear that we're going to have Abe Bogota talk to an empty suit later at our convention.
Really? Yeah. How sad is this for Mittens? 20% of viewers rated Eastwood's bizarre speech with an empty chair as the highlight of the RNC.
Wow.
Compared to just 17% that named Romney's acceptance speech and 9% for Paul Ryan. Wah, wah. Sad trumpet.
It's pathetic. I mean, their convention was so negative and such an attempt to actually introduce this guy who's been running for president for 10 years to the American people. This convention... has been a clear contrast that paints the personal story of the president and the first lady while connecting it to the policy, which is something that Romney's people didn't do.
I really wanted Bill Clinton at some point to say, ring the bell, school's in, sucker. This is how you do it. This is how you do a convention. I mean, he does
That's
it.
That's the way you do it.
And he does it with such charm and humor. And I mean, in a way, it was devastating. I mean, it was a devastating
indictment.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so much better than George W. Bush's speech in Tampa.
And what? Who would?
Actually, that was the best speech of the night.
Yeah.
Who are we saying? Of course, the right. You know, that's the thing is, you almost can't wait to hear what they're saying in right wing world because you're like, really? What do you got? What do you got for this? And they said, who did you say? Dana Loesch? Who was it?
Oh,
that was like, oh, I didn't think that was his. But he was not at his best. Really? Well, you better hope that he doesn't get it as any better.
Well, Dana Loesch at her best. That's something you don't want to see.
Yeah. Chris, was it her? Was it Dana Loesch you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at the top of his game.
Well,
yeah.
After Romney gave his speech and everybody was saying, it is the best speech of Mitt Romney's career, I said, well, that's an awfully low bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, his grandkids couldn't limbo under that.
So it was. And then what was the other thing we were hearing? Oh, Jackie Schechner was telling me last night in, you know, she was monitoring the Twitterverse for Current. And so we were doing our texting back and forth during the speech. And she was saying the right wing, they were like, oh, you can tell there's still all this animosity between Clinton and Obama. Obama's furious. He was making him wait, so I'd be making him cool his heels backstage.
No.
Oh, for crying out loud.
What?
Yeah, that's why they hugged each other.
Yeah, but they were trying to make stuff. I mean, just like yesterday, immediately. I mean, we've been here all week. It's been raining. You can tell it's going to rain again. And yesterday, immediately, the right wing, they went into overdrive with it. They moved it because they can't fill the stadium. There's no enthusiasm for the president.
I can tell you right now that there are tens of thousands of people here that are disappointed it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
But you can't have something like that out in the rain because you remember in Denver, people sat out for 6 hours waiting for the future president to speak. You cannot have people waiting in that arena for 6 hours in the rain, in the cold, because they don't allow umbrellas in. So you'll be in a poncho, you'll be soaking wet by the time he gets to speak, and half the people will go home sick.
No, I mean, I can understand them not wanting to risk it, you know.
And of course, a lightning bolt would just be too perfect for the right wing.
I see. Well, you know, they already claim that their prayers have caused it to rain here. I didn't have the heart to tell them that there's this thing called science because they think it has a liberal bias.
We're particularly enjoying the anti-choice protesters, and we won't talk any further about the material we did all the way home in the car because that was totally inappropriate. However, a little over the
top. Would Jesus have a megaphone?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think if you're right, you don't need to be quite that loud.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or, you know, off your meds.
Yes,
yeah, and then, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the lecture, somebody was saying there was another guy that was preaching very loudly and very graphically against gays.
Oh, yes.
Ron's like, there's children here.
Went into great detail. What you're not supposed to do.
I took a picture of that guy yelling at a lesbian family.
Really?
And they were just laughing at him, which, you know.
Right.
You know, he's been rejected all of his life by women. To see a family of them that don't need him and find him humorous.
Right.
When he's trying to be serious.
I wouldn't try to insult Jane Lynch. I think that would end badly for you.
Listen, I'm brave today. I'm wearing the shirt. And I'm, you know, come on. I'm gonna be walking past those protesters. Bring it.
There is a good gay community here in Charlotte, though. Yeah. There was a great event.
Hello. My bangs say yes.
That's right. She bangs, she bangs.
Right.
There was a great event put on by Victory Fund and HRC yesterday with Mrs. Obama. And Stonewall Democrats had a great party the first night we were here. So there's a lot of good community support here. And to see the First Lady mention the LGBT community in her speech and to see the platform and everything else just shows you how much more accepting this party is than the Republicans.
Yeah, well, yeah, you think? Just a little bit. Tony, back in L.A., let's get into some of the crunchy Bill Clinton audio goodness. Just give me cut one. I have to relive it. And this is where I go from gay to questioning. Here we go. Bill Clinton.
We are here to nominate a president. And I've got one in mind. I want to nominate a man whose own life has known its fair share of adversity and uncertainty. I want to nominate a man who ran for president to change the course of an already weak economy, and then just 6 weeks before his election, saw it suffer the biggest collapse since the Great Depression. A man who stopped the slide into depression and put us on the long road to recovery, knowing all the while that no matter how many jobs that he saved or created, there'd still be millions more waiting. worried about feeding their own kids, trying to keep their hopes alive. I want to nominate a man who's cool on the outside. But who burns for America on the inside.
Rock and roll. Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I have to say, I thought one of the best parts it was when he said, listen to me. You know, that, you know, I didn't inherit this kind of economy. Nobody, it was not this bad. Nobody could have turned this around any better in 4 years than President Obama has.
Especially with all the non-compliance he's had from the Republicans,
yeah,
who were determined to make him a one-term president.
The big difference is that Republicans worked with President Clinton.
Right.
Yeah. They were willing to do things to help the country,
yeah,
even if some of them weren't the right things to do. But this Republican Party from day one, you know, now we find out that Paul Ryan was in meetings right after the night that President Obama, yeah, was sworn in, on how to cripple this guy's presidency.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not the sign of leadership. That's, yeah, the sign of partisanship. At a time when our country was still losing 750,000 jobs a month,
yeah,
because of the policies of Republicans and George Bush.
Well, yeah, and then that's what Clinton went on to say, that though he agreed with the GOP, he said, I never learned to hate them the way they seemed to hate Obama. And look at all they did to Clinton. I mean, there's nothing but, you know, investigations and persecution.
They don't hate
his
Obama.
Entire...
They, remember, that's the new message.
Sure.
Convention. They don't hate Obama.
No. Mm.
Mitt Romney made it very clear that they wanted him to succeed, except when,
sure,
they said they didn't. And they announced their strategy of making it their top priority to make sure he wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they called him a Kenyan socialist,
Muslim,
communist,
Muslim Nazi.
Yeah.
Bad
Except
Christian
for all
ideas.
That.
Yeah.
They've been very, very helpful.
They've wanted him to succeed, frankly.
Carl Frisch, this has been a spectacular convention. I know you're anxious to get home to Dexter Von Frisch.
I am. He misses me. I miss him.
I know. Hi, Madam Fred. T-Bone leaves the TV on for them.
Oh, very nice.
So, what do you... tonight, obviously, the big night, and I'm told the man can give a speech.
He's quite good. I think he's going to lay out a pretty good case for why he should be reelected. And unlike Mitt Romney, he doesn't have to reintroduce himself to the American people.
Right.
For the umpteenth time.
Yeah.
Right. Did you see, by the way, we were saying the big difference in the two convention? Lies. No lies. here's the best factcheck.org could come up with. From did you see, this is kind of hilarious, on I think it was Clinton saying that Romney's plan, Julian Castro said the Tax Policy Center had said that Mitt Romney's plan would raise taxes on the middle class.
Right.
Would likely raise taxes on the middle class. Factcheck.org, the best they could do is say that they called that dubious or misleading because Mitt Romney says he won't raise taxes. Oh, and when has Mitt Romney broken his word?
Well,
they're basing it on that he says he won't.
I like the idea of having these independent fact checkers out there because they do a fairly good job. But what they fail at is trying to find other examples on the other side.
Right.
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 It's like when Ann Coulter says something crazy and they say, liberals do it too. And you're like, who?
Right.
And
who?
They point to a commenter on a blog.
Yeah, Bill Maher one time said a thing at a club once about it. That's usually what
exactly.
They do. Yeah. All right. First of all,
he's not a Democrat. Secondly, he's a comedian.
Yes.
So,
there
right.
All right. Carl Frisch, delightful to see you.
Good to see you, too.
All right, move along. It's like a, you know, it's like a...
an assembly line.
It's an assembly yeah. line here. You know how it
this
is.
This one's done.
We love
like
you,
this,
and then...
I like this better on the phone. I can't smell the wine.
Yeah, just... Oh, bite me, Carl Frisch. Okay, 19 minutes... Oh, it's old home. It's all family this week. 19 minutes after the hour, right back, live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, my friends. This is famous pillhead Rush Limbaugh. I just have one thing to say about them letting liberals like Stephanie Miller on the radio.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, yeah. in honor of the big dog eating last night. The big dog ate Bill Clinton. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined by my new boyfriend, Squee, Warren Ballantyne, a syndicated radio host, and he's broadcasting from right there, and we've been making moony eyes at each other all week, haven't we?
All week. But you know what? I got to tell you something, honestly. I've been stalking you forever. I used to sit in the Itchy Kitty.
Yeah,
I used
in
to
Reseda.
Sit in Itchy Kitty. And, you know, just luckily I have that in my memories museum.
Sure. So who doesn't? I worked for Pole for a while.
Mama, you know. Mama, you're hot, Mama.
Baby. Warren. Danger, danger when you taste brown sugar, as I always say. All right. Did the big dog eat or did the big dog eat last night?
I thought Bill Clinton was amazing. I mean, it was almost like Van Halen in their rock day in that high. I mean, he was unbelievable last night. I'm an attorney too by trade, and we deal with facts. And last night, that's what he did. He broke down the facts. But what was more amazing to me, as I was sitting in the audience, the analytical part of my brain started to kick in after I got off of drinking. it kicked in, and basically I was like, wow, the Democrats have their past president up here making an argument for their current president, yet at the RNC, we didn't see George W. Bush anywhere.
Interesting that. Funny that. Were you in the hall?
I was.
Oh, were you? Okay, because I was drinking back in the hotel watching it. But that was one of those, you know, we've been comparing as we're here all week. I was in the hall the first night. I'll be in the hall tonight.
Yeah, me
about
too.
The difference. You didn't need to be in. You could see what was happening in the hall. I mean, there's no like, oh, how's this playing in the hall as opposed to on TV? That was just, I remember even Wolf Blitzer said about Michelle Obama, not just a home run, a grand slam. I don't even know what this is. The ball's gone. The ball's gone.
It's
the rawhide's off of it. It's right. It's on the Mars rover now.
I think Bill Clinton did a couple of important things last night. I think he united the base, the Hillary and Obama base. For this election in 2016.
Right.
He re-energized the Yes We Can people too. I think a lot of people are at a fever pitch since hearing this. I had a woman on Twitter say, Warren, I'm a Democrat. I'm a white Democratic woman, 45 years old. After hearing Michelle Obama and President Clinton, we are in the car driving to Charlotte so we can be down there in the celebration for today.
Oh, yeah. And you just wanted to be a part of it. You could see what was happening in the hall. And but you're right. The other thing, it was all facts. It was all just, I mean, nobody lays out a case like Bill Clinton. I mean, it really was incredible.
What was the line of the speech for you?
Well, there's so many. Where do you start? Arithmetic. You know, people ask me what I did. How did I get four surplus budgets in a row? I tell them one thing, arithmetic. I mean, that one. And I think that he very clearly said, I did not inherit. Nobody could have done better than Barack Obama. I did not inherit this mess. He did.
I think all of those was important. But I'm going to tell you what I thought was the line of the speech last night when he said, like one former president said, there they go again.
There they go
when
again.
When he used Reagan.
Yeah. Right. Raise defense and cut social programs. Yep.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant. I thought he went off script because I got to see a copy of the speech beforehand. He went off script when he said, look, it took some brass. To literally go after somebody for the same thing that you want to do.
Oh, that right. Paul Ryan line, beauty, that makes some brass. I mean, he had humor. That was the story, by the way, of the night, is how many, he just riffed. The guy can riff facts, figures, Bible verses.
He was ad-libbing almost half the time.
Yeah.
He was really about 40%, I think.
I see why women love this man. I really do. I wanted to jump his bones last night.
Trust me, there were a lot of slutty texts going back and forth between my friends and I. I was laughing. He would let you.
I want you to listen to me. I did not. Well, yeah, I did.
All right. I did not. This country, George Bush did. Warren Ballantyne, you are just a delight, sir.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you, Stephanie.
Honey, I'm going home to see my 89-year-old Republican mother tomorrow. I'm bringing you.
I'm ready to go.
She'll be surprised.
She's going to be delighted.
She's coming to dinner.
I'm telling all
at least
my
it's a man.
Stephanie, you have a man?
All right, right back live from the DNC. It's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
Maybe just because I grew up in a different time, but though I often disagree with Republicans,
I actually never learned to hate them the way the far right that now controls their party seems to hate our president and a lot of other Democrats.
Woohoo! Big dog. Do it. Do it, big dog. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sonny sent us the best bumper sticker for 2012. Eastwood Chair 2012.
Mm.
Which,
yes,
according to the latest poll that you sent me, Chris, from Pew, might be a better idea. Thank you.
Sorry.
20% of viewers rated Eastwood's speech the highlight of the RNC. Only 17% named Romney's speech, and 9% for the budget monster Paul Ryan.
Right.
So
very nice.
There's that. So that happened. What are you doing? Why are you touching
because
my knob
peaking.
So much?
Is that your knob? Because you're peeking.
Yes, you are peeking.
You're shouting in the microphone.
Me? Are you as hungover as I am? One, you would think I would notice my own shouting. All right. So we have a star-studded lineup. Teamsters president Jimmy Hoffa. That's a good booking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Junior. Junior.
Yeah,
James Hoffa, not Jimmy.
Next hour, the Lindbergh baby.
Figure of speech. It's a figure of speech.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. We have another. And, by the way, Barry Goldwater's granddaughter,
That's
Cece
right.
Goldwater,
Yay.
Joins us. She called the delegates for Obama last night from the Arizona delegation.
That's right.
Hello. Am I the only one that thinks this is my dad and Goldwater's party anymore? Perhaps not.
You know who may be joining us in this segment?
Who?
Sandra Fluck.
Oh, hey.
And I told him not to fluck up the Chiron because to make sure you spell that correctly.
It's fluck.
Right.
Fluck.
Exactly.
Rhymes with fluck.
It
yes.
rhymes with that little town in Austria, yeah. which we can't talk about on the air.
Yeah, no. She was awesome. Her speech was great. I mean, I thought everybody was great. Jim loved Elizabeth Warren. You were saying, you know, she's obviously nervous.
She's not a professional speaker,
right.
but what she had to say was amazing.
Amazing.
And I loved her part about, you know, corporations are not people. They can't dance and laugh.
Right.
And live and die. And,
right.
yeah, I mean, well... I'd like to see a corporation. I would like to make a corporation dance. I would like to shoot at a corporation's
dance,
feet and make a dance.
Dance, Bane, dance.
For me, Bane. Oh, here's an interesting story about Mitt Romney's tax return.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, there was, let's see, we have to talk at the top of the story here. Secret Service said Wednesday it is investigating the reported theft of copies of Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney's federal tax records during a break-in at an accounting office in Franklin. I'm not sure where that is. Tennessee. And PricewaterhouseCoopers says, No, that wasn't.
Yeah,
it's all fine. It's him.
But
right?
anyway, the report
is him.
That somebody was asking for $1 million not to keep
dollars.
Them public.
Yeah.
Something in them tax returns. There's something in them tax returns. Yeah, exactly. Another unfortunate headline. The Nation reports Paul Ryan requested Obamacare funding.
Huh.
So not only did he request stimulus money.
They're remarkable in their hypocrisy.
Wowee.
Stunning.
So, what's your point?
Taking.
So.
And by the way, as we were talking, one of the highlights, I mean, there's so many lines of the night last night, but Tony cut three Bill Clinton last night about Paul Ryan. Bill
when
Clinton
Congressman Ryan looked into that TV camera and attacked President Obama's Medicare savings as, quote, the biggest, coldest power play, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Because that $716 billion is exactly, to the dollar, the same amount of Medicare savings that he has in his own budget.
So, what's your point?
You got to get one thing. It takes some brass to attack a guy for doing what you did.
Look at my abs. Look at my abs, huh?
Oh,
Look
man. At,
huh?
Do you ever, like, when you watch these speeches that are so amazing, do you just picture the look on, like, Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan's face watching this? Just, you know.
Right.
Even Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus?
Oh, somebody tweeted that Reince Priebus is whining so much about the Democratic Convention, it's like he fell and stubbed his vagina.
Yeah. I was knocked over the microphone.
I think that's my favorite tweet of the week. Hands down. Hands down.
You can't do that. You can't talk about me like that. Not fair.
I'm guessing there's just a lot of S-bombs dropping.
Oh, poop.
I imagine Fox, it's like there must be so much gastrointestinal distress having to air these speeches. They're
yes.
just like...
No.
Maybe that's why they're so orange. Did you see them over here yesterday? Every single one of them is a bright orange.
Yeah.
I don't. What is that? Is that a conservative thing?
I don't. don't know. The Fox people are right there.
I know that.
They're right back there. Hmm.
Gretchen Carlson was over there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Protestant ones and the Catholic ones are green. I just a guess.
Who can say?
Yeah, and I don't know. And Sean Hannity's going through puberty again. We played that soundbite yesterday.
Preview.
Coming off the line of preview. This is not really going well for us.
Preview in Tel Aviv.
No.
They're,
Mommy.
They're stuck on this whole, you know, God and the platform thing. They've been harping on that for three solid days.
There was no mention of God in the Democratic Party platform, was there? Okay.
Right.
And so we put God back in.
Yes.
A lot of the speakers, I mean, obviously a lot of the speakers have spoken very movingly about their faith.
It seems that they've
not gaudy enough for them.
Right. It seems that they've forgotten that there's no mention of God in the Constitution either.
Ooh, the Teamsters for Obama are walking in.
Hey.
I don't know why that's making me hot.
We've got a Teamster coming up in the next segment, so.
Jim, not a Teamster.
The Teamster.
James Hoffa, the president of the Teamsters coming up. All right. Bill Clinton on the Republican convention. Bill Clinton last night.
In Tampa, the Republican argument against the president re-election was actually pretty simple, pretty snappy. It went something like this. We left him a total mess. He hadn't cleaned it up fast enough, so fire him and put us back in.
That was an ad lib, I can tell.
That
was an ad lib, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think that was an
problem. There's nobody better at ad libs than Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, in front of that size audience, I'm going to wing it. Here's the difference when we wing it at our convention and when they wing it at their convention. Clint.
Yeah.
Somebody should juxtapose the clips.
Right.
Clint's little ramble.
Here, let me get up out of this chair and you can talk to it. That would be an ad lib.
Exactly. Especially the part about Afghanistan, because you could tell even the audience was doing like Scooby Doo. Because he was like.
Ask
what
the Russians
Bush,
about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan was Bush's idea. What are you talking about? He's we should ask the Soviets how that worked out. Afghanistan?
The reason that didn't work out for the Soviets is that we were funding Islamic fundamentalists to kick the Russians out of Afghanistan, including Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Good move.
The chair had a better military strategy than this is what happens if you're watching on Current, if you're watching on TV. Crystal Boy looking around to see if there's a bigger name somewhere.
No, Sandra Fluck. I'm looking for Sandra Fluck.
Than me? See, he's actually working. It's not like the way we normally do it in Hollywood where people are looking around to see if there's somebody bigger to talk to than you. It's actually his job to look around and see if there's...
Would you like me to get up out of the chair and actually do my job?
No.
Okay, fine.
We can see... People understand. This is what winging
it
radio
sounds. I'm
getting out
of my chair because she's coming.
Okay, here comes. Wow! Yay! Exciting. See?
All right.
And I just dumped him like a bad habit, like we do in Hollywood. Sandra Fluck is right there. Oh my goodness! Look at, she's coming. She was awesome last night. Loved her speech. This is very exciting. Oh look, we're improvising. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are you? Oh my God! Amazing speech. We were just talking about it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And you know what? We just played a music bump with Rush Limbaugh's voice in it. I'm sorry you missed that.
I'm okay with missing Rush. That's all right.
Were you nervous? That's a big crowd.
You know, I wasn't nervous about the public speaking aspect of it. I really like talking to people. But I was just really focusing on trying to get my message out to people and trying to drive that home about the choice we're facing this November and the differences between Mr. Romney's positions and Mr. Ryan's policies and President Obama's, and making that as clear as possible.
It couldn't be starker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I've said over and over, Sandra, I have gotten so many, I've never seen such anger among women. I've gotten so many emails saying, is this 1952? Really?
That's right.
We're protesting this again?
They've given us plenty to be angry about.
Yeah.
But it's so important that we harness those feelings and turn that into action, that we get out there and register voters, that we get ourselves to the polls, that we do everything we can to make sure that they're not successful in turning back the clock.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, obviously your whole news cycle was bad enough, and particularly for you personally. But did you just, with the Todd Akin thing, you just go, this is a pattern. This is one guy calling a woman a slut. This isn't one guy saying something just offensive and horrible and scientifically inaccurate. It is in their policies. It's in the Ryan bill. It's in the Republican Party platform.
That's exactly right. And I want to acknowledge that Mr. Akin's comments were really hard for certain people to hear, for some survivors to hear. But it did really shine a light on the kinds of bills that have been proposed by this I call it the House of Republicans, by this Republican House of Representatives, bills that would draw distinctions between which survivors of rape have access to the care that they need, and, you know, extreme bills that Mr. Ryan co-sponsored that would criminalize aspects of in vitro fertilization. You know, in my opinion, that's just not a pro-life position.
Which would disappear many of Mitt Romney's grandchildren.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it just is, it's so extreme as to almost not be believed, is it? I mean,
But it's so important that especially young women realize that this is real. This is not just rhetoric from a party in a campaign. This is an actual threat. They have proposed these bills. They co-sponsored them. They voted for them. They're doing everything they can. This is not an idle threat.
It's sort of a jihad against women.
Sandra, some of it, I mean, if it weren't so horrible, it would be funny. I mean, let's review your story. The whole reason you were testifying is because the Republicans had a hearing on women's health and wouldn't let any women testify. I'm a comedian, so I keep saying I just want to get into Congress to have a hearing on balls, and I'm not inviting any men. It will be entirely male.
All Catherine Heigl.
Just Catherine Heigl and me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just don't invite me to that one.
But I mean, it is incredible. So there you are. You go to testify, you know, about, I believe you were speaking in part about your friend who needs birth control for endometriosis. I mean,
that's right.
It was so random, this Rush Limbaugh attack, and sustained over several days of calling you a slut. And it was, I mean, it just, that I think, and you realize, oh my God, that was just one prong in the war against women.
Right.
That wasn't.
But I wouldn't call it random because it's a really old move, right? Like,
right.
We've seen this before, these kinds of attacks on women who talk about their reproductive health care or women's reproductive health care. So in a way, it was just, you know, really retrograde.
Yeah. You think? Just a little bit.
Just a little.
It's hard to know, like, what. You look at Bob McDonnell speaking at the Republican. I mean, that is state-sponsored rape, these transvaginal probes. I mean, it's hard to know. It's almost, like you say, it's hard to even keep your attention on one. There's either one more egregious bill in a Republican-led state after another.
Yeah, there is a danger that we're all going to just get so overloaded with all of it that we might tune out. But that's why it's so important to remain engaged. And I think for those of us who are really following politics very closely, we see all of this, but a lot of people aren't watching the minute by minute, and that's why it's so important that we tell people about it, that we make sure that they know about these outrageous policies.
I don't think there's been a starker choice, certainly in our lifetime, has there, on women's issues?
Well, we certainly have a stark one right now.
Yeah, I mean, I and Paul Ryan, I mean, he is so extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mitt Romney, I think what's frightening about Mitt Romney is that's why the right wing is going so crazy about them playing that clip of Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like the only conviction he ever had was being pro-choice back in
Massachusetts.
But he obviously doesn't have any core principles.
It's really disturbing to see the way that he has changed his position with the political winds. But people do know that he had a record in Massachusetts that was a problem. He vetoed a bill that would have guaranteed victims of rape access to emergency contraception in ER rooms. So when he was in office, those were the kinds of actions that he took. And so his position right now is what he's got to say at the moment. But I don't like to see a politician moving around on such a core fundamental moral issue.
Sandra, I heard you got engaged before you go. Did you get?
Yeah, a few months ago. Yeah.
Congratulations. And I hope that guy never runs into Rush Limbaugh in a bar. I mean, I feel bad for Rush. But
he's very good about letting me fight my own battles.
Sandra, what a pleasure. What an honor to meet you. Great speech last night. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Right back, live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
And we did.
We will rock you.
All right. All right. right, Jim Ward on your guitar. Come on. We're rocking him at the Democratic National Convention live from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm here with James Hoffa. Check me out. President of the Teamsters Union. I could not feel cooler right now, James. I could not feel cooler right now.
Oh, I know. This is what a convention. We're having so much fun here. You know, one night it's Michelle Obama. Last night, Bill Clinton. Can it get any better?
I think it can.
I'm excited about that.
I'm told there's a speaker tonight that we might enjoy.
Well, let me tell you something. Everybody said, how is he going to top that? You watch.
Yeah, you watch.
Tonight, he will top all these. People are going to be talking about that. You know, Friday morning, they're going to be saying, can you believe what he said? And he's going to put them in their place, and he's going to map out exactly where he's going.
Yep.
The next, you know, 4 years, it's going to be fabulous.
I think that's how you achieve excellence is, you know, people that raise your game. And I think the fact that Barack Obama is not afraid to put Bill Clinton on before him says everything we need to know.
And he knew that Bill Clinton is a consummate speaker, storyteller. He's a spellbinder. He has this great appearance. And last night, he took them to the woodshed. He said, these are the facts. This is what they're lying about.
Well,
I loved it.
And
it
we were talking about what some of our favorite lines were. Take a listen to this one I thought was really key. Bill Clinton last night.
When President Barack Obama took office, the economy was in free fall. It had just shrunk 9.4% of GDP. We were losing 750,000 jobs a month. Are we doing better than that today? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the whole question. Are we doing better off? Yes. Yes, we are better off than we were.
Well, I'm from Michigan. We've got lower unemployment than the national average. Ask the hundreds of thousands of people that were laid off at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler that are back to work. Ask those people if they're better off. Ask the people that their housing prices are starting to go up. Ask the Teamsters who were laid off, who are now getting jobs, more freight's going through the system. Ask those people if they're better off, and the answer is they are.
Well, we were just saying that it was extraordinary. You were saying he did his research for this. I mean, the whole thing about Democratic versus Republican presidency since 1961, how many more jobs Democrats have created. This whole myth about them being the job creators is just that, right?
Well, you know, they say that, you know, it's only the rich people that are job creators, and that's why their theory is we should give more tax cuts to the rich people and basically start cutting back on all the things that the regular people, like you and I, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that hopefully we'll enjoy someday, should be cut. I mean, it is he made a lie to that, and I guarantee that everything he said was researched, and you don't hear anybody saying, it wasn't true. There's no fact checker coming in. You know, the Republicans say the fact checkers are wrong. I mean, what a joke.
Facts of a liberal bias.
Yeah. You're mixing me up with the facts. I mean, I don't want... We're making up our own facts. Well, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, and James, you know, here again, I couldn't be a starker choice. Mitt Romney wrote the editorial, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt. I mean, you just mentioned...
It's in writing.
This is one of the great American success stories. And James, I say American, not Democratic or Republican. It should be a bipartisan, you know, just a proud achievement that not only did we, you know, save an American industry, but it's number one again in the world.
Absolutely, and they can't make, you know, I'm from Michigan, and they can't make enough cars. They've got three shifts on right now.
That's great.
They're hiring people in Ohio. I mean, what a success story for America. And what's our biggest problem there? We don't make things here anymore. And so here's something we do make in America that creates good jobs, health care, pensions. That's what America needs. That's our middle class.
And
that's what everybody wants to ignore. We need to rebuild our middle class.
And what a perfect example of how unions are not the enemy. Unions made concessions. The government helped. We all came together. We saved a great American industry. I mean, it just, that's to me, I mean, obviously, this is a tough time for labor, isn't it? And this is what, that's why this is so important.
Well, the recession has been devastating to labor. I mean, there's been 8 million jobs have been lost with the Bush crash, and those jobs are not back. I mean, we're slowly working our way back, but it was devastating. And the jobs that left were the good jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that the high-paying jobs with health care and pension. They're not the hamburger flipping jobs. The good jobs are leaving this country. The good jobs haven't come back yet. And to some extent, we're able to do that. But you're right. We have to sit down and be reasonable. And the other thing that really got me about last week's convention, the way they vilified labor, I have never seen a Republican convention be so shrill, anti-labor. They even put right to work in their platform for the first time. They are moving so far to the right. I just can't imagine how they think they can appeal to the average American.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do they assume that all people in unions are Democrats?
Well, that's what I mean. They keep trying to do unions versus people. Hey, guess what? Unions are people.
Like last time I looked, we got 1.4 million people, and they look like they're American citizens to me.
Exactly.
Am I missing something here?
James Hoffa, I want one of those shirts. President of the Teamsters Union, what a pleasure. Happy convention. Thanks so much for taking time for us. We are back live from the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're posing for awkward family photos.
We are. Hello.
Hello, it's the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're not watching on TV, you're really missing out because the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is creepily sitting right here breathing down my neck. We call him Rich Uncle Moneybags.
Yep.
Alternatively, Captain Credit Card.
Yes, exactly.
Yesterday on the way to lunch, I was like, credit card, let's go.
It's good to be, you know, known for what you're known for.
Right.
I was like, where's your big bag of cash? I need reimbursement for the gays that did my hair, some other stuff.
Did you get the money?
No, you're not carrying any cash.
I rest my case.
That's why we call him Captain Credit Card. He never carries cash.
Not Daddy Warbox.
This is Ron Hartenbaum, the guy that owns the show.
Anyway. So
yes, Rich Uncle Moneybags.
Quick announcement for everybody to share. Today is the 8th anniversary of the Stephanie Miller Show. We embark on our 9th year with this very show. And you see, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So, thank you, Rich Uncle Moneybags.
You see, we've made it this long.
Everyone always pictured you as wearing a top hat and monocle and just a big...
Spats.
The big bag
of cash.
And a cane, yes.
Yeah.
Once a year on Halloween.
And we've enjoyed most of the 9 years of,
paychecks.
Well, that, mostly.
Excuse me, consistent.
Secondly,
health insurance.
Secondly, the timely breaking news emails. We did not know that William Taft had died. Thank you for
that
information.
You're welcome.
He thinks that we have no access to news wires. And do you see there's no food plates?
Right.
We get those...
Oh, and
now that we're on TV, could somebody get rid of the dirty food plates?
That's an issue of mine. Those that think that the food plates on the shot in Burbank, tweet them and say, keep the food plates.
Yeah.
Oh, and the phone calls in the middle of the show.
Yeah, you still, after 9 years, don't know what time we're on. What are you doing? What you thinking about? Got something I need to chat with you about. Oh, we love you. Oh, by the way, and Chris LaBoy, did you know this?
Chris is going to get another guest that's real instead
of
me.
Guess what this Sunday is? It's Captain Rich Uncle Moneybag's 60th birthday.
Oh, yes, it is.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Captain.
Thank you.
We love you.
Yes.
All right. Scram. We got bigger names.
Happy anniversary.
All right. Give me some cash. There's an ATM. There's an ATM right there.
That's right.
It's an ATM right there. Seriously, I have some expenses from this trip that I need to be reimbursed for.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Obviously, very, very exciting. As you can see, this is completely, whoever we see, we just, celebrity-wise, we just grab by the scruff of the neck and make them sit down like a kitten.
Just like a kitten.
Congress critters
are
like
some milk.
Congress critters are like kittens.
Yeah.
Just grab them, and we. So Chris is getting some body.
Some body.
But we are still basking
in just a body. Doesn't matter.
No, we don't care.
Breathing not doesn't matter.
We are just basking in big dog glow. Let's have one more Bill Clinton clip while we cut 10, Tony.
President Obama started with a much weaker economy than I did. Listen to me now. No president. Not me, not any of my predecessors. No one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
I can tell from the thumbs up from Congressman Paul Tonko that he agrees with me. That was one of the lines of the night.
I sat there last night and I said, that's the cut tomorrow.
You need to turn around. We're on the TV, too. Thank you, Congressman.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
It was such a... It was just such an enthusiastic evening.
Yeah.
The whole convention to date has been wonderful. Michelle Obama the other night rocked the crowd.
Yeah.
And the president, President Clinton, just delivered in his usual self. And it was like listening to a professor in a classroom. You have to show that it's real.
Yeah.
And he went through that. I loved it, right, Stephanie?
I mean, it was stunning. It was just, breathtaking. And I thought a lot of the earlier ones, I mean, Sister Simone, I thought was brilliant in taking down the immorality of Paul Ryan's budget.
Sticking to the values that we ought to have as a nation.
Bill Clinton, it's hard to, and we were saying the story of the night, of course, Congressman, is how much he was just riffing, that he was off-prompter.
About 40% of the time. Yeah.
But, I think his cadence was established. He had his framework of a speech, but then the crowd was just appealing to the emotional impact. And, it wasn't just sheer emotion. It was like, look, you can't afford to do this the wrong way. We've been there before. We've done it a couple of times. And then when he says, we're not going to double down on trickle down.
Right, exactly. Tony,
play
this one. In fact, let's listen to this one again. Bill Clinton, last night.
They want to go back to the same old policies that got us in trouble in the first place. They want to cut taxes for high-income Americans even more than President Bush did. They want to get rid of those pesky financial regulations designed to prevent another crash and prohibit future bailout. They want to actually increase defense spending over a decade, $2 trillion more than the Pentagon has requested, without saying what they'll spend it on. And they want to make enormous cuts in the rest of the budget, especially programs that help the middle class and poor children. As another president once said, there they go again.
I mean, it was one of the speeches that's hard to pick a highlight, right?
Yeah, it was just, and the crowd was just responding with more intensity with every passing quip out there that really got them engaged. And, if you had to energize this base, we're leaving this convention, I am convinced, driven to reelect this president. Mm-hmm. So
he hasn't even spoken tonight. I mean, tonight will be the crescendo. I mean, it really, and he has just been set up beautifully, as you say. I mean, the speeches all week between Michelle Obama, and it's almost just building to this fever pitch. And last night was, it was the one night I wasn't in the hall. I was in the hall last night. I'll be in the hall tonight. But it was one of those nights I was saying, you didn't need to, you could see on TV what was happening in the hall. It wasn't like, oh, how's this reading in the hall? Is this working on TV? Is it working in the hall? It was.
I have to tell you, I talked to some of my local media in my hometown this morning, and even some non-believers were acknowledging that it was an igniting moment. And he talks about the strategy that the president has, a vision, re-engineering our economy so it's cutting edge, it's ahead of the curve. That takes, I think, strength of leadership, and he's doing it the tough way, but he's doing it the right way.
Well, I think it's an interesting contrast in that they honestly, a lot of people say, oh, this rhetoric is harsh to say it. They have last week, provably from fact-checked organizations, including Fox News, was proved to be built on a lot of lies.
Mm-hmm.
week, I think the refutation was built completely on facts and the truth, which is what makes it even more devastating for Deval Patrick to open it up by saying, the president has created 4.5 million jobs. That is more than George Bush created in 8 years. To just explode this myth.
Well, I think,
of job creation.
The fact that the president brought up the fact that they want to just dismiss any effort to fact-check their agenda. And he said, look, they're just ready to give that up. And he said, and I am from that place that still believes 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah, we got to hear this line of the night again. Tony, go ahead, cut 6.
Now, people ask me all the time how we got 4 surplus budgets in a row. What new ideas did we bring to Washington? I always give a one-word answer. Arithmetic.
I mean, here's the embodiment
right.
of I gave you a surplus. I
gave
4 surplus budgets in a row. George, they keep saying, oh, stop blaming Bush. Bush is gave us this huge deficit with the 2 wars unpaid for, not on the books, the tax cuts for the rich, the Medicare giveaway, and it really is incredible.
And what I read into that statement, Stephanie, was that he could have said math as an answer, but he went to arithmetic. That takes
easy,
it down to the K
simple.
Through 6
yes,
crowd.
Exactly.
So he was like, kind of slamming us that this is so blatantly obvious.
Right.
Do the right thing here. And
what the critical turning point, I thought, is what we played earlier when you first sat down, Congressman, was because a lot of the, I've heard people on the right wing going, oh, well, he's not Clinton. He's not pursuing the policies Clinton did. Clinton's like, I didn't inherit this economy. You know, George Bush did stimulus, and Paul Ryan was all for it. It's the spending that all spending is not the same.
Yep.
Spending for an unnecessary war is different than spending for stimulus and infrastructure that is creating jobs, provably.
Or asking for trillions or billions more than the Defense Department had asked for, without any explanation. You know, I think he set the tone right in the beginning when he said, since 1961. We've had this 28 years of Republican leadership, 24 of Democratic leadership, and then let's do the scorecard, right? And how many jobs did we create? We had less time at the plate. How many jobs did they create? 24 million. How many did we create? 42 million. I mean, he put it on the scales. It's lopsided. Our agenda has been a successful agenda,
right?
And it puts thriving middle class into the forefront.
And again, he is the walking embodiment of people. You can go, look, these policies have been tried. They didn't work. When you have Reagan's budget director saying trickle-down didn't work and Paul Ryan's budget is a mess.
Right.
I mean, you can look at the fact that they didn't barely mention George W. Bush at their convention. They know his policies didn't work.
Yep. What they say, we quadrupled the deficit before President Clinton took office, and then after he left, they doubled the deficit. So, you know, irresponsible behavior. And you know what I liked, too, was he was talking about the partnership ahead of the partisanship, right?
Right.
So I think that tone of that speech sets up the takeover of the House.
Yeah.
For the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I think it all comes together beautifully, masterfully.
Congressman, I've said that over and over when you and I have chatted on the show, is it's not just the president. We have got to get him a Congress he can work with.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim made this point earlier that was the difference. With Clinton, they worked with him at least.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even he said, and there was, as you remember, a lot of Clinton derangement syndrome. I mean, they were not fond of Clinton either, but he said, I have never seen the hatred like for this president.
Oh, yeah. And, and I'm glad that he said no president, not me, not anyone that's preceded this president, could have solved this in 4 years. And they made it even tougher by stalling the first 2 years of progress and then just boldly stating to the public through the eyes of the media, we're not going to do anything for this president because it's not about, our agenda is to cut his job at the expense of millions of Americans who needed job-inducing activities. So this was great. This puts it into straightforward arithmetic.
Forward. And, I'm in. 2012, I'm in. Got his back.
Yeah.
Congressman Paul Tonko from my home slice from upstate New York.
Upstate New York, we love. Right along that 90 corridor.
From Lackport up to transit from Cheektowaga and Lackawanna.
At the other end at Amsterdam.
Very.
Somehow you didn't get that flat A.
No, I know. We all have different sounds all along the upstate corridor.
It's a different A everywhere.
Right. But it is so good to be with you in person, as they say.
Absolutely. Representative Paul Tonko, one of the smartest, amazing congressman. So happy to have you in person convention week. Thanks so much.
Wonderful to join you. Thank you for having us
you
on the
too.
Show.
Happy convention week. Back live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious? Don't raise your glass if you are mad. In all the right ways, all my underdog. We will never be anything but loud. And nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways, all my underdog.
Yeah, here we are.
All right.
Dirty Little Freaks at the DNC, 23 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road at the Democratic National Convention, getting ready for the big night tonight. As the immortal Pink says, it is so effing on right now.
Mm. Is it?
Right? Yeah.
Is that what she says?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's effing on.
Maybe effing nap.
We're trying to figure out how we get a nap before tonight.
Before it's effing on.
Yeah, because POTUS is in town. So it's Gary's a little time.
Well, POTUS was in town last night. He made that little appearance at the end of the Clinton speech.
I know. I'm such a geek. So I'm like having a wine pizza party with my gays who did my hair, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Who I invited to my hotel room not knowing at all if they were actors or gays that love me. They turned out to be gays that love me that are fabulous hairdressers.
Thank God. Otherwise, who would have been Jim and me today?
Anyway, I was literally, I was already in the orgasmic throes from Bill Clinton. And then when Obama walked out, I'm like, POTUS! POTUS is in the house! POTUS is in the house! And they're just like, oh my God, you really? You're
wow.
a geek
really?
On the air?
Really?
Really?
You need to calm
really?
Down.
Geek on the air and off the air. Come on, it's exciting when POTUS walked in.
POTUS and FLOTUS.
Right?
Whoa.
POTUS and FLOTUS. And the fact that we use terms like that makes us even bigger political
I know.
Geeks, right?
Help me.
Yeah, my friend Eileen wrote, were you in the room when Clinton spoke? I want to pin under a desk.
Oh, dear.
So wow. magnetic. Did you have a hetero moment? Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did. Some of those women were not just laughing and crying. They were having orgasm. I'm telling you right now. Did you see the shots in the audience, Jim?
Yeah.
That was like, oh.
It's kind of like that Saturday Night Live sketch. Oprah's favorite things where the women are just throwing themselves.
Yeah, I should have been there. I might have got lucky.
No, I told you the story. When I worked at Oxygen, there was word that Bill Clinton was down in the Chelsea Marketplace.
Right.
I have never seen an entire floor, the entire third floor of women cleared out in about 20 seconds. It was like a stampede. Like, oh, my God. All right.
That's why I call him Elvis, baby.
Yeah, Bill Clinton last night.
I like the argument for President Obama's reelection a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. He inherited a deeply damaged economy. He put a floor under the crash. He began the long, hard road to recovery and laid the foundation for a modern, more well-balanced economy that will produce millions of good new jobs, vibrant new businesses, and lots of new wealth for innovators.
Oh, was that
oh,
it?
I guess so.
Oh, sorry. That was taking my nap now because I need to get ready for tonight.
I thought he was
sorry.
Pausing for effect.
You know? Sorry, was that?
He does that sometimes, yeah. Just not that time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it just was incredible. The combination of just humor and facts and just
charm, charisma,
right?
The truth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Everything we did not get from the RNC.
The Republicans are like, who knew that was hot?
Yeah.
The truth.
What?
I didn't think of that. Facts. One more. Bill Clinton last night.
Are we where we want to be today? No. Is the president satisfied? Of course not. But are we better off than we were when he took office?
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes, we can. All right. What,
forward.
So the guy that owns the show has warned us that the building is going to be on lockdown at like 3 today.
So you need to either be in or out.
Mm.
Is that serious?
Yes.
All right, so I'm sleeping under this table apparently today.
And you're wearing that to meet POTUS?
Oh, like I'm going to meet POTUS. Like I'm Aisha Tyler. Like I have that kind of access.
Yeah, you weren't given a handler by the White House. Did you see that handler? That
I don't care. She got
her?
Me into the fancy Planned Parenthood party. I was on her guest list, so
okay.
I didn't care. I don't care that my friends are much more successful and fabulous and good-looking than I am. I don't care. I'm that secure.
Oh. At least she returned your phone calls.
Yeah, well, exactly. Hello, there's someone looming over us. Hi, we're on the air live.
Oh, okay.
Senator Manette. Okay, but we'll need to do it because we only have 1 minute here to break.
Yeah.
And we're on the air live now. See, people don't really realize that you're actually doing something when they chat with you about various...
Talking in Mr. Microphone for my own amusement.
Yeah.
Ooh, listen, I can hear my voice.
Yesterday, someone shoved the schedule right in my face right while I was talking. I was like, see, this is how not Aisha Tyler I am.
Right. You're so not Aisha Tyler.
Yeah. The last sexy liberal... By the way, Michelle Obama... apparently sold tickets to Sexy Liberal New York for us like crazy. Roland said we sold like a zillion tickets for some reason right after Michelle Obama's speech.
Wow.
I have no idea why.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought she was going to be there.
October 27th. Well, Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and I at Sexy Liberal Palooza at the Beacon, and Michelle Obama
where
is magic.
Where the Rolling Stones play.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I thought I was so cool on the way to the last Sexy Liberal. I whipped out my cell phone. I'm like, look, I saw Obama, the LGBT fundraiser. I got to see him. And I took a picture of him, and I had like part of his hand and like a blurry shot of the side of his head. And then Aisha's like, oh, yeah, I met him too. And she has all these perfect pictures of me and Michelle Obama having a private conversation laughing.
Laughing.
I just went back to my seat and coach. Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I got some pictures, too.
Look at these.
Okay.
Sex to be you.
Yeah, I still like her. Okay. She doesn't even have the decency to be a biatch. 29 minutes after the hour, we will be back live with Senator Robert Menendez of the great state of New Jersey as we continue from the Democratic National Convention live in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In Tampa, the Republican argument against the president re-election was actually pretty simple, pretty snappy. It went something like this. We left him a total mess. He hadn't cleaned it up fast enough, so fire him and put us back in.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined by one of our personal favorites, Senator Robert Menendez of the great state of New Jersey. Good morning, Senator. What a great convention we're having, huh?
Absolutely. And Bill Clinton rocked the House last night with the truth.
Exactly. We were saying the Republicans. We were just saying Republicans are thinking. We didn't think of that. Does that work really?
No.
Truth and facts.
Try that sometime.
I mean, I don't know what word to use, but he eviscerated the Republicans and did it with charm and humor and facts and style.
He did it as only Bill Clinton can. I mean, I think he took their arguments and, as you said, Stephanie, eviscerated them. Then he reminded people also about what the president inherited, two wars raging abroad in Iraq and Afghanistan, both unpaid for, exploding debt, an economy that was on the verge of not just a great recession, but a new depression, millions of Americans without health insurance and those who had it being discriminated against. And then he pivoted not only in reminding that and eliminating their arguments, but making the case about what this election is all about.
What a compare and contrast. Speaking of New Jersey, Chris Christie's speech obviously pretty much roundly criticized as a flop. Talked mostly about himself. What I thought is just not that these are such great speeches, but they are so eloquent, all of them, in support of our president.
Well, absolutely. And I hope the president's got his A game tonight, because after Michelle Obama Bill Clinton, he's going to have to knock it out of the convention hall. But he has not only the ability and the intellect and the rhetorical flair, but, I think that Clinton's right. He may be cool on the outside, but he burns for America on the inside. And I think we're going to see that passion tonight.
And I think that certainly the president is such an amazing speaker himself, and will be able to adapt. Are you disappointed about the stadium, about the move to the convention hall?
Well, it would have been nice, but in my mind, who votes for someone who puts me in the rain,
Yeah. Possible.
I think they made a smart choice based upon the weather. Maybe it would have worked out. Who knows? I think what's most important, it's what the president says, not where he says it from.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I was thinking there's kind of a silver lining in the actual dark cloud no matter what the president does, they criticize him. But obviously there was a lot of criticism about the grandeur of it the last time.
Right.
And you go, this is a different time. This is a different election. And so, he will, I'm sure, give another speech that is appropriate for these times, don't you think?
I certainly think so. I hope he does a little bit about builds upon what President Clinton did last night, reminds people what he inherited. Reminds people of what he did. We're better off today insofar as creating jobs versus losing jobs when the president took office. We're better off today that our sons and daughters are back home from Iraq than in a war we shouldn't have been in the first place. We're better off today that seniors don't have to choose between putting food on the table, keeping their home, and having access to life-saving, life-enhancing drugs. We're better off for students who want to realize their personal dreams when we've expanded dramatically Pell Grants and kept interest rates low for students. So in so many different dimensions, we're better off. And if he builds on that, reminds people of what he inherited, what we've done as Democrats together with the president, reminds people also that he's had the most virulent opposition I've ever seen in the Congress of the United States, that any president, and then finally paints you know, the picture of here's where I'm going to take you over the next 4 years, I think he's going to do an exceptional job and connect and strike a powerful, responsive chord.
Yep. We'd be better off still if the Republicans were determined to make him a one-term president.
Oh, well, this is you know, I see it in the Senate. You know, the filibuster, which is that procedure in the Senate that is available to any member who wants to stop something from moving forward and then creates a higher threshold than a simple majority of 51 and moves it up to 60, and Democrats only have 53 votes. Well, that's been used in an unprecedented fashion.
Right.
So it goes to be, it's used so that Mitch McConnell can make his vision of having Barack Obama be a one-term president ultimately be fulfilled. Why? To create failure so that we all get disappointed and, you know, stay at home, don't come out to vote, and that they can say the president hasn't succeeded. It's horrible because at the end of the day, it's not about the president.
Senator, trust me, I've had to use the word unprecedented a number of times to document this unprecedented obstructionism.
Yeah.
But your person is furiously giving us the rap simple because you're very important and you got a lot of places to
go.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
All right.
Happy
it's great
to be with
you.
Happy convention.
Happy
Thanks so
you.
Much.
Thanks
Senator Robert Menendez of the great state of New Jersey. All right. Yeah, you can tell when people are too important to be on my show because, they just did this, and then they do this. And then they, like, we will kill you, that. Yeah. It's what? Oh, Joe, my God.
Hello.
It's Joe from Joe, my God. One of our very favorite. Nice to meet you, sir. You have to get right up on there. It's not a gay joke. I'm just saying. Joe, my God, it's so nice to meet you. We love your site.
Thank you so much. I'm having such a wonderful time here. It's amazing.
I mean, seriously, you know, a lot of people go, oh, it's all hype. They're all just shows, these conventions. I mean, come on. You can't, whether you were in the hall or watching it on TV, you can't go, this is an amazing convention. The energy is off the charts.
You know, I had such a wonderful time last night. I almost forgot the fact that I was being batted around by security like a pinball most of the time on the main floor. You know, every time, as the level of speaker got to higher and higher prominence, security got rougher and rougher and tighter and tighter.
Awesome.
Don't stand there.
That's hot.
All right, I told you to just stand there. Well, I changed my mind. Now stand over there. It was a lot of fun, though.
No, Bart, really
good. I spent all of Clinton's speech pressed up against Wolf Blitzer's backside.
Oh, I'm yikes. Sorry.
We'll
have to leave it there for sure.
Interesting trivia. He spends his off-camera time wolfing down pretzel sticks.
Really?
Wow.
So, an interesting thing to have right before you go in the air.
Thank you for that fun fact. Yeah. We have frequently posited that his diet consists entirely of
hard cheese and drywall.
Which is why he sounds
constipated. Yeah.
Constipated, yes. But we'll have to add that to the bit. Pretzel
sticks.
Mm. Weird. I mean, we actually always joke about the mainstream media and people like Wolf Blitzer that, you know, they're so like, oh, we have to fair and balance, both sides do it. Oh, it's all, everything's the same. And, you know, even he, I know, said Michelle Obama, that wasn't just a home run, it was a grand slam. I mean, I don't know what he said about Bill Clinton, but what can you say about that speech? It was breathtaking.
I watched the Michelle Obama speech at the Stonewall Democrats Party up the street, and people were in tears, quite honestly. I thought it was a little too sweet at times.
Listen, I was here in the hall, and straight guys were in tears. So,
right.
You know what, just so it's not a gay thing.
This was a pretty a rough-and-tumble sports bar that happened to be hosting a gay party.
Right.
But even the staff, you know, the place went dead silent. You know, and
here in the hall, too. I was in the hall, and when does that happen?
I'm hearing there are already remixes and dance versions. My friends in the dance community are telling me.
Oh, the gays are fun.
The gays are already working on Michelle Obama dance mix, and I can't wait to get it.
I can't wait. I love it. Let's listen to a little Bill Clinton from last night.
He has laid the foundations for a new, modern, successful economy of shared prosperity. And if you will renew the president's contract, you will feel it. You will feel it. Folks, whether the American people believe what I just said or not, maybe the whole election, I just want you to know that I believe it. With all my heart, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, what better witness, right? I mean, for the prosecution against the Republican Party ideas.
This morning, I think it's on BuzzFeed, one of the major former Romney advisors is saying that Clinton just won the election for him.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
I know. That's there's a great tweet going around. It's a download status bar, and it said, Mitt Romney has crashed, 75% reloaded. Please wait.
We were laughing about this Pew poll that literally that 20% of viewers thought that Clint Eastwood's speech was the hit, the highlight of the RNC compared to 17% for Romney.
Yikes.
And 20% said there was no highlight.
No highlights. It was a highlight-free convention. Paul Ryan's speech, 9% thought, I mean, a lot of people pointed out the difference, Joe, is that Clinton's was completely based on facts that you can't refute. Ryan's was roundly, I mean, almost immediately fact-checking
even
by
Fox News.
Right. I was actually watching Fox during Ryan's speech, and I think the second or third comment was, well, obviously the fact-checkers are going to have an interesting day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's what Fox News led off with. Where are we going?
Now where are we going with this? I mean, that's the thing you love is when you can feel how good something is in the moment. You can just feel like, oh, God, you would give anything to be a fly on the wall in the Fox control room in Mitt Romney's living room. You know what I mean? It's just Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus?
That was my favorite tweet. As somebody said, Reince Priebus has been whining so much about the Democratic convention, it's like he stubbed his vagina.
Ouch. Ouch.
I don't know why I love
that. I haven't seen any Diane Jansing vaginas at this convention yet.
No.
Although, interestingly, the Women's Caucus is about to take place right now, and it's the only one I've seen where everyone has to go through a metal detector.
Really?
Yeah, and I asked one of the press officers standing there.
Underwires, look out.
I asked one of the press officers, I said, none of the other caucuses, the LGBT, the Labor Caucus, nothing,
right.
There were no metal detectors. And she said, oh, no, this just has to do with the status of the speakers. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
I don't know if I really buy that.
Maybe they think they're smuggling something in their areas.
In various areas.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, that's because we like to do that.
Sure.
That's where I put my car keys. Joe, we were saying it's almost like on every issue it's such a stark choice this year, but certainly on gay rights, which is something you talk about, I talk about.
It's been an amazing year. It's week. It's been like Christmas every day. The Twitterverse just exploded every time speaker after speaker after speaker mentioned our people, our rights, our struggles. What a stark difference, even from the Democratic convention in 2008. 6% of the delegates here are openly LGBT. That's about equivalent to what we think our percentage is in the population. And when you add in the people who are not open, I think we may even be overrepresented here in Charlotte in 2012.
Yeah. We might have over-gayed.
I think we over-gayed a little bit. Well, the first LGBT caucus was Tuesday, and we definitely over-gayed that house because security had to come and start doing a one-in, one-out. There were so many people in press in there.
Wow.
And major, major politicians stepped up to address this. We had Valerie Jarrett, White House Security Advisor.
Wow.
White House Advisor. We had Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary. Randy Weingarten from the Teachers Union.
Yeah.
And Tammy Baldwin, openly lesbian Senate candidate.
Right.
And it was just like bam, bam, bam. It was like no stop to the the rock stars of political political world.
Listen, I am thankful for my gays because I was able to lose the baseball hat. I found gays to do my hair, and they came to my hotel room.
I'm kind of used to your baseball head. I do my blogging from home, and you guys are with me in the mornings.
Well, at home, I'm always on the way to spinning class right after the show.
Oh.
So, here I was trying to glam it up a little bit.
Well, I don't usually wear the hat when I work.
I'll get you some gays. I have some spare gays. I'm done with them.
Spare,
yeah.
I've got a few spare gays. In fact, they're all demanding shirtless photos of your producer.
I'll get it right on that. All right. Joe, really great to meet you. Joe, my God, amazing amazing sight. Check it out. 46. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you so much.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody, let's get into it.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it started.
Oh, if you're listening on the radio, you're missing David Schuster and I making dreamy eyes at each other. 52 minutes after the hour, the most interesting man in the world, David Schuster, joins us now. Oh, stop it. The eyes are so blue, I can't take it.
Dreams do come true.
We're live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, where I met David Schuster's lovely fiancée. Whatever.
And she thinks you're hot, too.
You know what? We could be a thruple. We could,
I got to run it by her, but I think she would say yes.
It's, wow. It's like a threesome, but more spiritual. No actual sex, just a thruple.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Just a spiritual soul connection. David Schuster, wow. Wow, what a convention. What a contrast from last week, right?
You know, it's a contrast in so many ways. Obviously, the energy here is so much more enthusiastic, maybe in part because the arena is a little smaller and it's a little more sort of intimate in that sense. But the Democrats are just so much more fired up. And there was certainly, you know, the Republican convention was sort of monochromatic. I mean, yeah. It was just lily white, hardly any African Americans.
Except for the props. I mean, speakers. Some of the speakers.
And even, I mean, Tampa felt like it was like you were being bussed into a war zone. I mean, there was no sort of interaction with the city of Tampa, whereas here you just walk a couple blocks and you can find the Jesus guy who wants to save all of us and all the other people wandering around downtown Charlotte. So it feels like this is a little bit more reality.
Yeah, we saw a guy with a smiley face shirt that said Jesus loved you.
And he does love me, Stephanie.
That's what I'm told through a megaphone every day.
Almost as much as we love you.
Thank you, David Schuster. And that's the thing is you. Everyone's like, it's so partisan, and people, you know, it's just a show at both conventions. But what do you say about Bill Clinton's speech? I mean, come on.
I can say is I'm going on that vegan diet because he looked amazing. He looked amazing last night. There was a couple of things that struck me as, I mean, it was a great speech. It went on. He went into details. I would say if there are a couple pitfalls, and I'll play sort of devil's advocate here for President Obama. Yes, President Clinton was aiming at the 6% who were undecided, the people who want to see Washington get along. I still think there's something for President Obama to say about, you know what? I trusted the Republicans. I tried to negotiate with them. They're not going to get a second chance. I may extend the hand again, but this time I'm going to use the bully pulpit. I think if he did something like that, it would fire up progressives and Democrats and say, President Obama gets it. Yes, it's fine to try to reach compromise, but at some point we want to see that fire. We want to see that fury that President Obama reportedly had with John Boehner, when John Boehner pulled the rug out from in these negotiations, according to Bob Woodward. So there's something about that I think Democrats still want to see to really sort of seal the deal.
What is your take on the whole, you know, move from the stadium and how that's going to affect things, good, bad, indifferent?
I think the bad is that North Carolina was a difference of 14,000 votes last time President Obama won, but I think he's going to need, you know, he needs that. And so when you have 65,000 people at a stadium and they're fired up and then they go out and tell their friends about it, it has an impact. So I think that hurts them a little bit. On the other hand, I think it was kind of a dumb idea to begin with to put it in the football stadium. I mean, this is a different election. The history is a little bit different.
Right, that's what I was saying. Right, uh-huh.
And this is such a loud arena. I mean, this is so loud. This is perfect for President Obama's speaking style. So I think they should have done it from here from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's what I was saying is, no matter what he does, he gets mocked by the right wing. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, the whole Greek columns and this. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a different election. It's a different time. And I think Bill Clinton proved last night, I mean, you can't fire up much more than that. I mean, I think you're right. It's the important thing is the message, not the venue.
Republicans are trying to make hay out of this and claiming it's because we just don't have enough people here. Well, no, lightning is probably the main problem. But an Obama's campaign official came back with two words, Ford Field, because that's where Mitt Romney spoke to 1,200 people at Detroit's Ford Field. It holds 80,000.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, bad visual. Some of the delegates were being asked by Democratic officials, hey, can you help with some of the buses? Do you know of people? So, I mean, I think there were some concerns. Right. I think they could have filled it.
Oh,
but
if there was one empty seat, that would be the Fox shot all night long.
Right. And it just, you know, I think it goes to the point that, you know, why bother doing that? Yeah, I mean, I think there are ways you can energize and fire up people in North Carolina in other ways than trying to do this massive event. I think the Democratic Party and the Obama campaign probably be better to spend that money actually on getting out the vote operation.
Oh, good. You know how this works. I think we have we have another guest.
Somebody's going to intrude on our love.
I love you more than anybody ever in the history of history.
Hey,
that's what I tell my dog.
Say, stop it.
Sorry. Bye, David.
Bye,
Schuster.
Stephanie.
Love you. See you tonight. Okay. All right. Who are we joined by now, Chris?
Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee.
Oh, Representative Steve Cohen of the great state of Tennessee. Hello, sir.
Stephanie Miller of the great TV network Current.
Oh, you are good.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's this energy of this convention and the Bill Clinton speech, right? everybody's happy, they're nice to each other.
It's very simple. You just got to analyze this convention and look at it and see what's happened. The people are happy.
Yeah.
This is Charlotte, and we're coming together.
Yeah. That's exactly the slogan up there, coming together. And I thought there has been such sort of unity and cohesion. Hasn't there been in all the speeches and all the themes how they've sort of woven together?
Well, they have, because it's a central message of the party. It's fighting for the middle class. It's fighting for justice and fairness. It's for keeping Medicaid and Medicare as we know it, keeping Social Security secure, and college loans, and to be concerned about our Pell Grants that we've increased and making sure they're not diminished, giving opportunity. I've got a bankruptcy bill on college loans, which right now can't be bankrupt because of Abcisa.
Representative, real quick, you just mentioned Bill Clinton brought up Medicaid, which is another very important thing that I hadn't heard anybody else say.
You name it. The Republicans are against it unless it's taking care of the rich, taking care of the oil companies, or taking care of the defense contractors. That's their or guns. They like guns, too.
Yeah.
And
yes,
not
we
just
did
in the hands of the military. They like them in the hands of the, posse comitatus.
Yeah, exactly. Your highlight of the speech. I'm sorry, we're hitting a hard break, but your highlight last night, your favorite part of Bill Clinton's speech.
Trickle down. Everything Bill Clinton does. Bill Clinton and I have been friends for 30 years, and it was just a phenomenal analysis and synthesis.
We're at a break. I'm so sorry. Oh, I wish we could talk to you longer. I'm so happy you took a second to stop by and talk to us. And happy convention night tonight for our closing night.
I'm going home to Memphis to meet with my supporters. We're having a convention watch party. And I'll miss being here, but the votes are where, you go
with
the fish are.
Yeah, you go with the fish are right back on the Stephanie Miller Show live from DNC.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, sure it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hot chicks everywhere.
Yes.
My running mate, CeCe Goldwater, Barry's granddaughter, is right over there.
Looking hot.
Be joining us in just a bit. She announced the Arizona delegates for Obama last night on the convention floor.
Cool.
Very exciting. Speaking of hot chicks at the Democratic convention last night that you love, Elizabeth Warren last night. Here she is.
The system is rigged. Look around. Oil companies guzzle down billions in profits. Billionaires pay lower tax rates than their secretaries. And Wall Street CEOs, the same ones who wrecked our economy and destroyed millions of jobs, still strut around Congress, no shame, demanding favors, and acting like we should thank them. Does anyone here have a problem with that? Yeah, well, I do too.
I thought she was great. I really loved what she had to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's hard to speak on Bill Clinton night.
Yeah.
but that's what she even said. She's like, I can't believe I'm opening for Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
All right. I believe Mudcat Saunders, our buddy, our pal, Dave Mudcat Saunders on the phone. Mud, you there?
I'm here, darling. How y'all doing?
We're missing you.
Are y'all having fun at Dixie?
Yeah, we are. We were mocking you and your southern accent just before you got on the phone, and how much we miss your honey drawl.
Well, I'm sorry I can't be down there, but I got important work to do here in Richmond, fighting this dude Eric Cantor. I love what Elizabeth Warren said because it is fixed, and Eric Cantor is the main culprit.
Absolutely, Mud. You've obviously seen and been at so many conventions. What a convention we're having, right? Bill Clinton. What can you say about that?
Well, I picked up the tail end of his speech. It was pure Clinton. Bill Clinton's got an IQ of about 1,000, and his institutional memory is just unbelievable. But I really did. I thought it was sensational. My brother's a hardcore Republican, and he even said Clinton did well. So.
Yeah. Well, I think I think it's hard to refute in general how well this convention is going between Michelle Obama last night, two nights ago, and then the Clinton last night, correct?
Yeah, but it's so much mumbo-jumbo. I mean, last week at the Republican convention, and some of the Democratic speakers, quite frankly, are the same way. But Bill Clinton's got a way to cut to the chase, as we say in Dixie. And he did it and laid it out in a simple argument and made it so people could understand it.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. That's what I was saying. He makes it so understandable, doesn't he, for the average person?
He really does. Like I said, though, I loved Elizabeth Warren. I really did. I mean, because she absolutely nailed it. Because it is fixed. I mean, what we've got now is a system, as you've heard me say many times, we got a coin-operated government. And it's unbelievable that people now in America know that we have a coin-operated government. And many of them just choose to turn their head to it.
Yep, absolutely. Mud, I got a governor sitting here. I got to run. You know how the DNC is. But I love you and miss you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, but remember, tell everybody to go to powellforvirginia.com, send us your jing so we can peel a hot off canner.
Do it. Do it for Mud. All right, thank you, honey. See you next week. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, honey. It's a governor, the governor of Vermont, sitting right next to me.
A live governor. It's great to be with you, Steph.
Nice to have you. I'm sorry, I got to make sure I say this right. Governor Peter Shumlin. Shumlin of
it's
the great
usual
state
name.
Of, the great and yet tiny state of Vermont.
It's great to be here. Great nice. Convention.
I mean, are you enjoying this as much as I am?
You know, I always come to these things with a little bit of trepidation. You know, we governors tend to be busy. You think, gosh, should I really take 4 days and get down there? And, man, I got to tell you, this one has just juiced us up.
I mean,
when the combination, as you were just saying, Stephanie, of the First Lady, and then seeing Bill Clinton lay it out last night, and many of the other folks that have been making a case. And, you know, what I find so extraordinary about this election is, and Bill Clinton did such a good job of spelling out plain English, they tell you that we've been doing one thing, and we've been doing exactly the opposite of what they say. And that's just so important when it comes to health care, you know, a basic right. What President Obama succeeded in doing is ensuring that low-income and middle-income Americans get access to health care. Health care, it's tough to survive on this planet without it. This is a huge step forward for America.
Yeah, absolutely. Governor, take a listen. You just talked about Elizabeth Warren. This was one of my highlights. Take a listen to Elizabeth Warren last night.
Mitt Romney's the guy who said, corporations are people. No, Governor Romney, corporations are not people. People have hearts. They have kids. They get jobs. They get sick. They cry. They dance. They live, they love, and they die. And that matters.
That was a great line.
And hopefully they vote after that.
Yes.
I mean, let's get right
yes.
down to it. You know, what's this election really about? Let's talk about where we are. We have a contrast between two visions for the future of America. Right now, it's an extraordinary close race in so many states, 3/4 points, too close to poll. The fact of the matter is, whether the vision that Elizabeth and that the First Lady and that Bill Clinton laid out last night gets executed or not depends upon whether Americans show up to vote. What the Republicans want to do is ensure that we do not vote, that poor, low-income, moderate-income Americans don't have their voices heard. And you see, and they're trying to suppress the vote in 36 states.
Yeah.
I mean, they are literally the Republican Party of the United States of America, out there in the greatest democracy in the world, trying to find ways through court, through laws, to keep people from voting, because they know if the people vote, we win, and if the corporations vote, they win.
Another famous Bill Clinton line, right? When people tend to vote, Democrats tend to win.
Yeah, you got it.
I mean, a lot more 99ers than 1%ers, right?
Right. So, I mean, our job at coming out of this convention is, you know, really to take the important message that's been so well articulated here and get it out to the grassroots, work harder than ever to make sure that we get our voters out.
Well, and we've won a couple of big victories in that vein, right, in Ohio and Texas.
We're winning in the courts because what the Republican legislators across the country have done, often also swept in by this Tea Party mania, is they have passed laws that do not pass court muster. They suppress votes. The great thing about America is one person, one vote, and their legislation literally takes on that basic constitutional right. So, of course, the courts are going to strike it down. The question is, can we get to enough courts fast enough to prevent the biggest effort ever to keep real Americans from voting?
I thought one of the most, as a governor, certainly this had to have resonated with you, I thought one of the most effective speeches was Governor Deval Patrick.
Deval's
who,
a...
obviously there was no mention of Mitt Romney's record as Massachusetts governor at the Republican convention last week, and clearly that was for a reason, and Governor Patrick laid it out pretty devastatingly well, didn't he?
He did, and you know, I'm very close to Governor Patrick. He's doing a great job in Massachusetts. We're right next to each other, and he has said to me so many times with this extraordinary sort of incredulous by the fact that here is a guy running for president of the United States who does not talk about his record as governor. Now, that's not, you know, that doesn't really build confidence. You know, this guy, he led a state for many years. When was the last time you heard him talk about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, when you hear the detail, and we've known some of them before, he was 47th in job creation, but I think, you know, some of the more devastating figures that Governor Patrick laid out were pretty, I thought, pretty stunning.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the arguments that they put forward just blow. You know, right now, Mitt Romney's up in my state, Green Mountain State, holed up in a little gated community somewhere, and he's preparing for debates against Barack Obama. And so while we're down here, he's up in the Green Mountain State. He left the state of New Hampshire to come to Vermont to prepare for the debates, which, you know, as a Vermont governor, I believe that's one of his better judgments. But having said that, he last week, on one of the issues that I feel very strongly about, which is climate change, the fact that we are dealing with the effects of the oil and the coal and the environmental degradation that we've done. You know, I've been governor for less than a little over a year and a half,
right.
And I've dealt with 4 major storms. Irene ripped through Vermont exactly a year ago last week, killed 6 Vermonters, wiped out our homes, wiped out businesses, wiped out bridges and roads that have been there for hundreds of years. I've dealt with 4 major storms as governor,
right.
Climate change induced. Mitt Romney and his folks are down in a Republican convention a week ago in Tampa saying climate change doesn't exist. He's in a community right now that he couldn't get into a year ago unless he'd had a chopper, because all the roads and bridges were gone. People had died in the streams where he is sitting, and these folks are in denial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... And it was interesting that, you know, the right wing was outraged that we played the tape of him debating, speaking of debates, Ted Kennedy.
Right.
And you think, the reason they hated it is because it was so devastating and it was so effective.
Absolutely.
I mean, not only to show his complete lack of any kind of core principles and flip-flopping, but, I mean, you know, speaking of debates, I think President Obama said this. He said, these things that have been roundly fact-checked and debunked, the welfare ad and you name it. He said that's going to be harder to do in person. That's going to be harder for Mitt Romney to get by unprovable lies in a debate when face to face with the president, don't you think?
Right. And the issues that I think we really need to work on are, listen, this is about America's future. We have huge choices to make in the next 4 years. I know as a little governor in Vermont where we're working on jobs and economic development, the thing that's killing jobs for us is the rising cost of health care. It
right.
basically forces small businesses. I'm a business person. It forces business people like me to not be able to invest in increasing wages, investments in further expansion, research and development, all the things we need to grow companies. With health care costs rising faster than incomes, you're basically sucking that juice out of the American entrepreneurial system. So you got to find a way to reduce health care costs while you're expanding access, and that's what the president's been so good at.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's what Mitt Romney did as governor of Massachusetts, even though he's running from it now.
Yeah.
So the point of the matter is this simple. Romney won't tell you what he's going to do. He'll just tell you what he thinks we shouldn't have done.
Right.
And then he distorts that. So we've just got to continue, just as Bill Clinton did last night, to lay it out very simply. Listen, if you believe that Medicare should be there for you, you better vote for Barack Obama. If you believe that everyone should have access to health care regardless of income, you better vote for Barack Obama. If you want to get health care costs under control, you better vote for Barack Obama so we can create jobs and invest dollars in other sectors of the economy.
Yep, absolutely. Governor, thanks for taking time on such a busy week. And happy convention. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Keep up the good work.
Governor Peter Shumlin said that right, of the great state of Vermont. Right back live from the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
23 minutes after the hour. Speaking of fighters, Elizabeth Warren last night at the Democratic National Convention.
President Obama believes in a level playing field. He believes in a country where nobody gets a free ride or a golden parachute. A country where anyone who has a great idea and rolls up their sleeves has a chance to build a business. And anyone who works hard can build some security and raise a family. President Obama believes in a country where billionaires pay their taxes just like their secretaries do. And I can't believe I have to say this in 2012, a country where women get equal pay for equal work.
Yay.
Wow, what a radical.
Yeah, she's
crazy.
Crazy
idea.
All right, speaking of fighters in Congress, one of our personal favorites, Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California, who walked across the street to be with us last time in Burbank.
Don't let it be said I wouldn't cross the street to see you.
At least you have crossed the country this time to be with
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Delighted to be here.
Yeah, well, aren't we all? Because aren't we all having a great convention? I mean, seriously.
That was an incredible night last night. What phenomenal speeches by the president, just out of the park.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's hard even to think of a highlight. What would you say were your highlights of Bill Clinton's speech?
The most memorable for me was I think Bill Clinton has this uncanny ability to frame an election, to tell a narrative. And when he described the message of the GOP convention, you remember he says, now how many of you watched the Republican convention? Their message was pretty simple. It was, we created a horrible mess.
Right.
And he's taken too long to clean it up.
Yeah, put us back in. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
We'll fix it this time.
That really was the message.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the president has been so good at making so many of those analogies. You know, they drove the car in the ditch. And
exactly.
You're like, help me get this out of here. You know, it's like giving them the keys back, right? You know, I think that we were talking about the president tonight saying, wow, how do you top that? Well, I think that shows the president's confidence is that he's happy to have Bill Clinton testify for him, because who better?
Oh, absolutely. And seeing the two of them together last night on the stage, you can't help but be impressed at just what capable presidents these are and what an incredible team they
are. Just that picture says everything in a way that you need to know. Do you want to go back to the – do you want to, use the policies where we had this, or do you want to go back to the policies – I mean,
well, exactly.
George Bush, invisible, practically.
I was
going to
say,
right?
I must have been watching a different station when they had the Romney-Bush embrace on stage at the convention. Where was that?
Romney even hardly got mentioned at the Romney convention. I mean, it's, I think that's almost the way it felt. Is just the
maybe President Bush was sitting in that empty chair when he was talking. Must have been what was happening.
He was the other empty chair. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even compare the two conventions. I mean, it just seems so disjointed and so disarray, so little enthusiasm. And this, last night was the one night I wasn't in the hall, but you didn't need to be to see what was going on.
Well,
it was insane.
And
there's
a new phrase that's entered the political parlance after Republican convention. Instead of getting a bump, they got a goosebump.
No bump. I can't imagine we're always a pretty evenly divided electorate, but I can't imagine we're not going to get a bump out of this.
Oh, I think it's inevitable. And I think the story of this election is going to be basically a non-story, that the president started out modestly ahead, in the middle he was modestly ahead, and at the end of the day, he was modestly ahead. But a win is a win.
Yeah, I don't know. It was starting to smell a little landslide-y last night, despite the odds.
I will be thrilled with a landslide.
What do you expect to hear from the president tonight? What are you hoping to hear?
I think we'll hear his vision for the next 4 years. And building on what President Clinton said last night, how we can continue to move forward, how we can get back to the kind of prosperity we had during the Clinton years. And what that's going to take. But also, I think a lot more of the personal narrative that Michelle Obama did so eloquently,
right,
that Elizabeth Warren, in the beginning of her speech, talked about, that we all share this American dream, that each generation has the opportunity to do better than the generation that went before, and how we can make that possible.
Congressman Schiff, it's interesting. Maybe I'm a little too happy-clappy, but I know they're saying this isn't a wave election, but you look at the approval rating for the Republican Congress, and what I say over and over is it's not just the president. You've got to get him a Congress he can work with. And I thought Bill Clinton laid out beautifully the difference, that the Republicans actually worked with him when he was in office, and this just irrational hatred of Obama. And so, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. Do you think there's a chance that, you know, we could get the House back?
Well, there is a chance, and we will undoubtedly gain seats in the House. We need to have a wind at our back to gain enough, but that's certainly within the realm of doable.
Yeah.
And if we have that landslide that you talked about that you're predicting, it will happen.
I'm just saying. I'm saying. It's a wave election.
You know, the wave is starting right here on this show.
Listen, I've commissioned a Larry the Landslide Lizard T-shirt, so I'm just hoping that things work out as I've planned.
Excellent. I think he did a wonderful job of sort of laying out the score.
Right.
Obama's created so many jobs. You know, Romney,
right.
Zero.
Zero.
And the Republican Congress, zero. And it's so true that we would have made much greater progress if we didn't have this obstructionist Republican Congress.
Yeah.
And that's also part of the narrative, which is we made this horrible mess. He's taking too long to clean it up because we won't let him clean it up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because we're actively wrestling the mop from his hands.
Absolutely.
Yes. Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California, thanks so much for joining us on Convention Week. Happy final convention night.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Enjoy.
29 minutes after the hour. Cece Goldwater, Barry's granddaughter, my running mate, Goldwater Miller 08. Family name, no skills, just like W. You remember our slogan.
Yes.
Ex-Republican girls gone wild. She joins us next, live from the Democratic National Convention on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, people ask me all the time how we got four surplus budgets in a row. What new ideas did we bring to Washington? I always give a one-word answer. Arithmetic.
Squee, big dog. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Who's that pretty girl in the window there? It's Cece Goldwater, Barry's granddaughter, and my running mate, Goldwater Miller 08.
Hey, how you doing?
Ex-Republican girls gone wild.
That's right. Family name, no skills, just like W.
Exactly. We still have the posters all over my office. How about you?
Coffee mugs.
You still
really
got swag?
Yeah.
I got swag.
I got like a doggy nappy kind of outfit thing or something like that.
Sadly, it just did not catch fire.
Yes, I guess
somehow.
It's come down to just paraphernalia. I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was fun. It was a good run, you know.
Yeah, we were plucky. We gave it our all.
Yes.
We were from it was the Where's the Party party.
Yes.
We formed our own party.
Yes.
All the ideas were hatched at a slumber party at my house.
That's right.
Wine-fueled slumber party.
Box wine and a big old slumber party and a girl's gone wild trying to get elected. Not good.
I mean, here I am all the time saying the Republican Party, not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. And there you are last night. How exciting. You announced the Obama delegates for the Arizona delegation.
Right.
How exciting was that?
Cool. Oh, my God. It was so nerve-wracking. I was absolutely... I thought I had it memorized. I thought I had it down. And I was just totally choking on it. I'm like, every other word is like coming out like...
What do you say? Do it. I didn't get to see it. Go ahead.
I said Arizona, the great state, Arizona, the Grand Canyon state, home of some fabulous political leaders on both parties, including my late grandfather, Senator Barry Goldwater. I'm Cece Goldwater. Yada, yada, yada. He would not, he wouldn't recognize the Republican Party today, and... Barry Goldwater believed in civil liberties, women's right to choose, right to privacy, and on behalf of the Arizona Democrats, I cast 80 votes for Barack Obama.
Tony, where's my rock star cheer?
Freebird!
If I was there, I would have had like 17 lighters.
I wish. You would have been there, because I was so nervous. I'm like looking like a Nelly up there going, oh, I'm so scared.
The Secret Service would have wrestled you to the ground.
I'm
if you
sure.
Were
yeah, incendiary devices.
I'm like, no, I'm a friend. I know it's government. It was fun. It was a really good experience. It was a hidden secret. They didn't want to tell anybody about it.
I know. Yeah, I'm not good at holding secrets, but I did. I held
it was
that
a
one.
Covert operation that I came in under the cloud of darkness.
It flew you in.
I submerged out of the swamp. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like, I did a little bit
like
of
swamp thing.
Swamp thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a fun thing.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And, you know, this is not just something that I say. I don't know if you know, we just had Norm Ornstein and, Crystal knows the Thomas Mann. They wrote "It's Worse Than It Looks," and they're from both sides of the political spectrum,
right.
And they basically lay the blame for, you know, the dysfunction in Washington at the feet of the Republican Party. They just said this is not a version of the Republican Party that any recent Republican would feel, you know, meaning president or vice president, whatever, would feel comfortable in. I mean, I was saying it's not just my dad, you know, Dad and Goldwater, but Reagan. You know what I mean? Like, how far back do you have to go to go? Whose version of the Republican Party is this?
I don't know. It's real strange. And you know, what's so uncanny about this election is that it's Mitt Romney, and George Romney destroyed your dad and my grandfather's.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just nasty.
Yeah. He walked out of the Goldwater convention
and said he's not supporting Miller Goldwater. He just wasn't going to do anything.
Oh, you just switched the ticket. Thank you. That was so sweet. Was that just for my show, Miller Goldwater?
Yeah, because it is your show and you are in the driver's seat. But that to me, I mean, come on. That doesn't show integrity. So how do you grow anybody that has any integrity?
How do you grow
when
somebody?
When you come from that stock, okay?
Grow in a petri dish.
That's a problem, yeah.
Well, I mean, because I know even when we did our run in 2008, you weren't really very partisan. You weren't really where you are now. But it seems to me like you've, like a lot of women I know, like, I mean, pick an issue. Your mom was so involved, right, with Planned Parenthood, as you said, very so pro-choice. And this has gotten to be, this war on women is not fictional,
no.
Do you think?
And you know what, unless, it was one of these things where I felt like, unless I just got really into it and just started to be more proactive, I just shouldn't have a voice in it one way or
right.
the other. So
right.
I just jumped in and said, you know, I'm going to go for it.
Well, it's not just Barry's pro-choice. He was openly pro-choice on the Senate floor in the 80s, but it was, you know, I think his small government... How do you get the government that up in women's lives and medical decisions, right?
Well, I don't know. The Republican Party, the suggestions at the RNC this year was did not seem small government at all.
Right.
Did it, to you? Did
no.
You get,
no,
there,
didn't get
there,
that.
There was no pocket friend or anything like that. It's called small government, pocket
yeah.
friend. No.
Yeah.
It was really, I just think that it's a really tough time, and I think that, unfortunately, the Republican Party is just not even recognizable. I mean, my grandfather, I can't speak for him because he's dead,
right.
And it's really, it's inappropriate for me to, but... On that note, I know how he was in terms of what he believed in, and I could only assume that he would be so disappointed. So I don't even know if he'd be reelected
right now.
I don't think he would be reelected
right.
in the Republican
well,
Party.
This gets into sensitive territory, probably for you and for me. I don't know how your family is. My family's pretty split. I mean, you know, half of us are very pro-Obama,
yeah.
And the other half, I mean, but again, my dad passed in 83. I forget what year Barry passed in.
98.
But, you know, big difference there. But, I mean, so you're right. It's not fair for me to say what my dad would think, but you're right. I knew my dad's heart. You knew your grandpa's heart. For instance, I'm gay. Your brother's gay.
Right.
Barry was very pro-gay rights in the 80s, you know. So, and this year's version of the Republican Party is even more homophobic.
Too.
And your dog is gay.
Yeah.
I suspected that.
Just because I wanted something to kind of join.
I suspect. I know. You felt left out.
Yeah, I did.
Whatever, breeder. My point is... But, I mean, that's just knowing someone's heart. And you look at this version of the Republican Party, the most homophobic, I think, in years.
You know, anybody that presses their genes, that's the problem.
Right? So gay. I didn't mean that in a bad way.
No, but it really is. It's really strange. It's morphed into something that is not recognizable. It's super PAC money. I mean, come on. That just
right.
threw it into a different, whole different level. And I don't even know how it gives somebody a fair chance to potentially win if they're a good person.
How not to be too personal, you don't have to answer, but how is your family the same way? There's a split?
I've got, like, you've got your brother. I've got my family members that... Well,
yeah. Because to the remaining right-wing side of my family, those are the wrong kind of Goldwaters and the wrong kind of Reagans and the wrong kind of Eisenhowers.
I had the internal Goldwater fan club sending me emails last night. They were all like, rah, rah, we just Instagrammed you all over, yeah. And I was like, great. That was like this internal side. But I haven't gotten the hate mail yet from the certain side of the family that was that way. Especially since I just did a big thing in Arizona with my mom to support Dr. Richard Carmona, who's running for Senator John Kyle's seat against Jeff Flake, and you know,
yeah,
I got a little dissing on that one too. But you know, nothing I can't handle.
But it's that old thing that you didn't leave the party, left us. I mean, I voted for Reagan.
Right.
I'm I'm like a lot of people. And again, when you look at all of our kind of families, it's not just you and I. It's Ron Reagan. It's Julie Nixon Eisenhower. It's you can go on and on from prominent people, kids from prominent Republican families that just don't recognize the party anymore. I mean, I guess one of the things that I do get from the, you know, let's say the Republican side of my family. I'm not mentioning any names. You know who you are. You know, Dad was a loyal Republican, and he would think this and this. Again, I don't know that it's fair to 30 years later to know what anyone would think. I do get when they say those social issues weren't around in the 60s. They didn't ask
Barry and Bill
about abortion or gay rights or anything like that. No. So it's not necessarily those issues. They're, you know, but they're just saying up the line he would just be a loyal Republican. And I don't know. There's an awful lot of prominent loyal Republicans that have been in office that have said, you know, I mean, who is it tonight, Jim, that Charlie Crist is speaking, I think, at the convention tonight. So we're certainly not the only ones that
Well, you know, it was the whole thing about kind of understanding my grandfather's political was more of when I did that movie documentary, you know, the film I did on him, Mr. Conservative, it really gave me such an opportunity to explore a political side of him when I only knew him as a grandfather. I mean, it was kind of like you knowing your dad, and then, you know, remember your sister wrote that book? You get that thing where you get a whole different side of it, and you interview people, and you get their read on it.
Well, we were young. We're similar. I was 3 when my dad ran. You were 5, right? I mean, you were only...
I know, but...
Whatever. Okay. Oh, sorry. Sensitive subject.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
No, anyway.
Never mind.
But,
no, what I mean... Yes, it was my birthday yesterday. Okay, just rub it in.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday, baby.
That means your birthday's coming up, so we're just...
Shut up!
Okay.
All right.
I
now
just have to say, it's freezing in here, and yet CeCe is still smoking hot. So.
Oh, behave.
Behave.
Oh, look. You two...
Would you two not like to get a room? Would you like to get my room? I have a hotel here.
Seriously.
What was I saying? I don't know. I lost my train of thought now. What would you...
We were talking about the kids growing up and how it's just a different party. And it really is. I mean, when we were young and Barry and Bill were doing this run, the political agendas were not abortion. They weren't gay marriage.
Right.
They weren't all these things. So when they all came forward, my grandfather put them into a palatable way to deal with them, and he applied whatever principles he felt to
them. We've talked about this before. They really did work across the aisle. They had friends on both sides of the aisle. Barry and JFK liked each other very much.
They're going to share a plane.
I know what I was going to do. I was going to give you a plug, and you distracted me. Your fabulous film, Goldwater on Goldwater, that was on HBO. Mr. Conservative.
Right.
Okay. It just was so... I mean, you're right. It was so great in that, you know, all the issues it touched on. But here's one of them I was just thinking about that I think is so prevalent. Obviously, one of the things that happened is Barry got cast as a racist because of... And my dad worked on civil rights legislation. My dad, I think in Newsweek when he died, it said, oh, congressman that voted against civil rights legislation.
Yeah,
he voted
right.
against one version of one bill. And you and I both know that Barry or Bill were not racist.
No. And you know what? They really don't understand. It was the public accommodations clause. People don't understand that about what Barry and Bill...
Right, but the racists, some of the racists embraced him.
They just poured him right into a... It was like throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my dad was an attorney and prosecutor in the Nuremberg trials. And so you're right. Some of their objections were just legal in terms of trying to... But, I mean, and my dad voted for the version that Barry voted against.
That was part of the origin of spin. That was really part of that media spin that started, I think, in 64, where the media started just...
But my point is, it must really gall you that this version is the true racist. I mean, some of the things that have been said about Obama by prominent Republicans, that's racism.
Yeah, I feel like we've stepped back so far into like, whoa, you need to get the Pony Express out. It's
it's back to
really.
Let's ride back to 1952.
Yeah, gunsmoke.
Blogging on,
there's no realistic. I mean, I don't see a realistic point of view at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's sad and pathetic, and I don't know. You know. I'm just happy that I got a chance to do roll call. And
I know. That's awesome.
Even though I wasn't perfect at it, I feel that it was my first shot. Maybe I'll get another one some other time.
I thought it was spectacular. Sister, happy to have you on board. Running mate, my friend, Cece Goldwater, Barry Goldwater's granddaughter. I could talk to you, but I'm getting this rap sign because, you know, it's the DNC.
I know.
And it's, you know how it is. It's
and you know,
you've
got to
get
somebody
show.
A lot more important in this seat than me.
There is nobody more important in my life than
you.
I love you, Cece Goldwater. Right back, live from the Democratic National Convention, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the Democratic National Convention. Big Dog, Big Dog 8 last night. Here he is, Bill Clinton.
Are we where we want to be today? No. Is the president satisfied? Of course not. But are we better off than we were when he took office?
Cha. Twitter fight of the week, Jim. Hank Williams.
Oh.
Country music. Singer said at a rally, we've got a Muslim for president who hates cowboys, hates cowgirls, hates fishing, hates farming, loves gays, and we hate him. It got a Twitter rebuke from Alec Baldwin, who referred to Williams as a broken down, senile, racist coot and a pathetic, wheezing fossil. All right. Here's a man who knows how to win a fight. John Stoltz of VoteVets.org joins us now. Good morning, John.
How you doing?
I'm good. How
I wouldn't
about
say morning. It's almost noon.
Right. Okay. I forgot. I'm on the East Coast now. I don't know who I am. I've been up for like 48 hours straight.
We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Wow. Yeah, that's morning radio and you guys. Now, yeah. You were obviously, you were one of the last out of Iraq, by the way, Army.
Yeah,
right?
Last year. I mean, obviously, I've been running VoteVets since 2006. We've raised millions of dollars on issues helping candidates, and last year I got called back to Iraq in 2010, so I was embedded advisor with the Iraqi armies there until December, and finally got to leave at the very end.
You know, John, I was I obviously the woman that introduced Michelle Obama, very powerful, right? Because the Republicans once again think they own this issue, that, you know, the military, strong defense, and, you know, she's like, I got one of each, right? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines.
And, well, I mean, to the First Lady's credit, I mean, when the First Lady and Dr. Biden have done a lot of just completely non-political work to help veterans and military families, it's, you know, every First Lady has certain issues that they like to work on, and look, the First Lady is not a veteran, you know, and she's taken on sort of our issues as her own, and sure, Dr. Biden, you know, Beau, who's going to speak tonight, served in Iraq, the vice president's son. They have obviously a very personal connection to it, but I think it's just important for people to know that they've done a lot of work just on PTSD or TBI research at medical schools and these types of things, and so the First Lady, of course, she's going to have a lot of just personal connections because she's sort of dedicated herself to this issue as First Lady.
How offended were you, because I know I was, when someone asked Mitt Romney about his five sons, none of whom has served, and he said, well, you know, they're serving a higher purpose, trying to help me get elected.
Wow.
I mean, look, we've been all over the Mitt Romney draft story. I mean, obviously, we have 225,000 members. If I was to email them out about Mitt Romney's draft status, you would get, like, you know, 25,000 people forwarding something around on Facebook, and sort of in the activist people who sign up at VoteVets because they want to fight and talk about these issues, it's hugely popular. I think for me, on a personal level, the Mitt Romney military service thing, yes, his kids did not go, but only 1% is serving right now. You know, that's the legacy of this war. The same people went 2-3 times. I went to Iraq twice. I went to Kosovo once. My brother went to Iraq twice. He went to Afghanistan. My father died when I was in Iraq. Mm-hmm. You know, that story that Mitt Romney's giving about his kids is the story for most American families. The real issue with Mitt Romney is the fact that, you know, even when he wasn't in France doing his mission, which I personally don't have a problem with, a lot of, you know, Mormons have served our military honorably and are currently doing it, but he got 2 draft deferments when he was done, and then he was for the Vietnam War before he was against it. Mm-hmm. And I just don't.
Well, he was for the Vietnam War for other people, apparently.
Sure.
I mean, that's honestly, I've heard from a lot of vets that call my show, John,
yeah.
and say that's what offends them, is he was very pro-Vietnam War, but not pro-going himself.
Until he decided to run for Senate against Ted Kennedy, and he all of a sudden was against the Vietnam War. And so, sure. But I think with Mitt Romney, it's just you don't know where he stands, and he doesn't at all understand the sacrifice. I mean, he put a guy on the ticket, Paul Ryan, who has a budget. Do you know how many times it says the word veteran in the budget? Zero.
Wow.
It's a 13% cut from what the president is proposing. So, you know, obviously he's an anti-veteran candidate and would be an anti-veteran president.
Tony, give me cut five. Bill Clinton made a point last night that, you know, I thought was really, you know, again, is all these myths that only the Republican Party supports the military the right way. Take a listen.
They want to go back to the same old policies that got us in trouble in the first place. They want to cut taxes for high-income Americans even more than President Bush did. They want to get rid of those pesky financial regulations designed to prevent another crash and prohibit future bailout. They want to actually increase defense spending over a decade, $2 trillion more than the Pentagon has requested, without saying what they'll spend it on. And they want to make enormous cuts in the rest of the budget, especially programs that help the middle class and poor children. As another president once said, there they go again.
Go ahead.
He brings up a great point about the $2 billion or whatever extra it is in the budget. The bottom line is that Republicans push programs sometimes that we don't need. And a lot of the weapons contractors push these programs so they can later on go back and cut military pensions. They want to take military pensions from something that is there every 2 weeks or a month that can't get affected by market swings to a 401k-based system, sort of like what they want to do with Social Security. So, you know, the Republicans at times, the weapons contractors push weapon systems that are unnecessary so they can cut the benefits that help the military.
Well, and at a time when suicide has outpaced combat deaths among our troops.
Yeah, we have a suicide epidemic, and, you know, obviously I wear multiple hats because obviously here I can't talk about it, but I still have a relationship at some level with the Army. We've done everything inside the force that we can think of to limit suicide. It's very bad on the Guard and Reservists. When you go home and you've been in Iraq for a year, you've been in Afghanistan for a year, and things aren't great at home with the wife, or things aren't great at home with the husband, and things are different with the kids, and maybe your job's not there anymore because it went overseas. It's a very, very hard process to go through, and we're losing veterans every day. And I mean, this is something that's not popular for me to say, but it's really where I'm starting to get to on this issue, is as long as you send people to Afghanistan, at the numbers that we're sending them, we're going to have suicide when people come home. It's just very hard to prevent it.
Yeah. From the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte, North Carolina, it is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.